So, George, you're proposing a snow tire day at Yankee Stadium.
As long as they don't throw them on the field. Help yourself to some shrimp. I brought it up for everybody.
I have to say, this proposal doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, you never know. Let's see how many I can fit in my mouth.
You know, George, the ocean called. They're running out of shrimp.
Oh, yeah, Riley? Well, the jerk store called. They're running out of you.
What's the difference? You're their all-time bestseller.
Yeah? Well, I had sex with your wife.
His wife is in a coma.
The Lifers Podcast with Scott Lucas, Gabe Rodriguez, and Ben Reiser. And now, here's Scott, Gabe, and Ben.
Are you guys talking about?
Talking about the Lemonheads?
Talking about what's the best song on Shame About Ray. It's Shame About Ray, which is one of the...
Wait a minute, we're doing What's the Best right out of the gate? All right, yes. What's the Best?
What's the best?
All right, so why are we talking about It's a Shame About Ray? What's going on?
Do you really want to know how we got here? That's really on your mind right now.
I just tapped in. You just tell me. Tell everybody else what's going on.
Arrive on the scene before you do. No
sure.
fault of your own. You're busy with your hair and stuff like that. Gabe,
course,
and I don't have that to worry about.
Right.
And I said, Gabe, did you check out the Lemonheads concert that I sent you or the Evan Dando concert? He said, not the whole thing. And I said, yeah, but did you see the
excellent
shirt?
Gabe impersonation, by the way.
Thank you. And he said, I said, did you check out this shirt? Because Evan is wearing an Iron Maiden shirt in this concert. From
which
Melbourne.
One?
Which one, Gabe? I don't know.
Not the Number of the Beast, I think. Number of
Beast, yeah. Gabe said, I didn't know that was a big deal. And I said, well, I've never seen him wearing an Iron Maiden shirt before or since. And I didn't know he was a fan. I still
think he'd go for replacements in the question.
I do too.
Yeah, okay.
But that led to Gabe saying he didn't know I was a big Evan Dando fan, which I'm sort of surprised because I feel like I say that quite a bit on this show, don't I?
You talk about it all the time.
Right.
And that just proves that Gabe's not a big listener.
Right.
A big fan of listening, shall we say.
Right.
I listen. It's just I don't retain.
But then sure. Gabe said, my favorite album of theirs, The Lemonheads, is It's a Shame About Ray. And I said, it's a masterpiece. It's only 30 minutes long and there's not a bad song on it. And he said, I don't know about all that, but my favorite song is. And that's when you arrived on the scene. There you go. You are all up to speed now, Scott.
Okay. So now what's the best?
What's the best?
What's the best song on It's a Shame About Ray?
That's
which I suppose most people would be surprised to know that Gabe, Mr. You know, maybe not. Would you be surprised to know that that's his favorite Lemonheads record, or would you have thought it would have been something older, Ben?
I'm not surprised. Although, yeah, he's got a couple older choices he could have made.
No, that's as far back as I go.
Well, I think you might like Lovey even more.
Yeah, you would have thought he'd be a Lovey guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
From the Tang Records days.
Yeah.
I go to It's a Shame About Ray, and Rudderless is my favorite song off that record.
Right, but I remember that you refused to buy the version with Mrs. Robinson on it.
Did I?
Yes.
Why would I refuse to buy that?
Well, it was cheaper, and you were also like, fuck that, I don't need that. So you bought the version that was kind of like, it was in the bargain bin because, it, you know, people were getting it because they wanted the the Mrs. Robinson cover, and you had no interest. So what's the best song on It's a Shame About Ray? Go on, Gabe.
That's it. The song with the chorus at the end. Ship without a rudder. Rudderless.
Rudderless.
Beat me. Prove me wrong.
There's only good songs on that record.
It'd be easier to say what's the worst song on that record. And then it would be a cheat to say Mrs. Robinson, but that's what I would say, I guess.
Well, Mrs. Robinson aside, what's the worst song on the record?
You know, in the early days, I might have said Turnpike Down, but I love that song now. I don't know. There's not a bad song on there. Maybe that Kitchen song? There's not a bad song on the album. I don't know what to say.
With the Ceiling Fan and My Spoon
ceiling
song?
Ceiling Fan, yeah.
That might be the worst.
Okay. I'm going to go with My Drug Buddy.
Worst?
I can't go with Rudderless. The best. My Drug Buddy could be the best. I don't want to say anything else because... Oh, you already said what your favorite was, Ben. Turnpike Down? No.
But I would have gone My Drug Buddy, but since you stole it from me, I'll go Hannah and Gabby.
Oh, that's a good one.
Can't think of it. How's that go?
I'm out walking around. You're the best thing I've found.
Or,
I mean, wait a minute. Allison's starting to happen. Oh my God, what a match.
Bit part's good. Oh, this is a good one. Yeah, Hannah and Gabby might be the best.
But Allison's Starting to Happen has my favorite lyrics in a song ever.
Allison's Getting a Tet Ring?
No. She's a puzzle piece behind the cast.
Mid-sky complete. I can't even think of this song, Hannah and Gabby. It's got Gabby in it.
I just played it. We're moving on. Watch the best! So I'm going to ask you a question, Gabe, and you're going to say Kevin Tiesta. So, Gabe, who do we have on the show today?
Today? Do we have Kevin Tiesta, or is he going to not make it again?
Well, he says he's going to be here, so Kevin Tiesta, right?
Well, no. Gabe said Kevin Tiesta. Tiesta, he said.
Tiesta.
Did anyone get April Fool pranked yesterday? I'm so sick of that April Fool's pranks shit.
Hey, right? April Fool's sucks. And people who think it's funny are kind of morons.
I got fooled by something.
I'm pretty sure every day is April Fool's for you.
Somebody in my community Facebook page, somebody posted a picture of the gas station down the street, and it says, "Coming soon, Taco Bell," because that's the talk of the town over here. We don't have a Taco Bell close by.
Well, that's some talk of that.
That's talk of the town.
That is. And I'm like, yes, meeting finally. About it. Finally. And then read a couple down in April Fool's. So I was like, come on, who's going to do that as an April Fool's?
Let me ask you something on the real. If there was a Taco Bell near your house, you would actually frequent it on a regular basis?
Oh, yes. Gabe would frequent the Taco Bell.
I would frequent it frequently.
All right, here's the thing about Taco Bell, and I realized this last week. Justine and I go to Taco Bell sometimes. I'm not saying we're super wasted when we
You're
go to Taco Bell. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying it's raining out when we go to Taco Bell. And I'm not saying we decide to go get some Taco Bell and come home and try to watch The Hitcher and decide that we're going to like it this time. I'm not saying that's what happens when we do this, but this is what we do.
This is a dark tale.
This is, yes. And this time, and you know, the next day you're always, oh God, look what we did, right? This time though, we woke up and we hadn't eaten any of it. It was all basically left untouched. Which I was very proud of. But then, you know, you're hungry. You're like, am I going to eat this during the day? Anyway, that's not my point. My point is, sometimes you try to class the joint up, you know, by using some good hot sauce. Doesn't fucking work. Right, Gabe? It doesn't work.
I'm against that whole concept of bringing your own sauce to Taco Bell. Their mild sauce, I buy it in a bottle from the store and bring it home.
I like their fire sauce. I think it's good. But if you try to put, like, say if I try to put Hellfire hot sauce on it, it doesn't work. Gabe, right?
You don't need to bring your own sauce. Use the Taco Bell mild sauce, the Verde, the hot sauce, whatever you want. That's it.
But I'm saying there's something about it that the other stuff won't work. It just doesn't work with it.
You're right. You don't need it.
It's a strange thing.
If I leave Taco Bell without
it's a game of Jenga that they're
playing. It's debilitated. Yeah. It's vulnerable. It's transient. It's perishable. It's resistless.
No. There's nothing perishable about Taco Bell food.
Decrepit. How about that?
That is what it is not.
Rickety.
Remember that time we all went to Chipotle? Boy, what a time we had.
Oh, man. You do have a Chipotle, though, right?
We all have Chipotle. It's everywhere. But the Taco Bell, they don't have it close by. Chipotle's close by.
So that was surprise April Fool's.
That was my April Fool's. I got my hopes up for 30 seconds, and then I realized, half these idiots.
Speaking of Chipotle, I don't think we talked about the fact that we got mentioned on some kind of dumb Sirius XM radio show.
Now, why is it dumb?
Because this DJ, and I believe her name is Madison. Is that right?
I don't know.
Yes, Madison.
She was promoting our upcoming live podcasts, which were from last year.
Mm.
So that's why.
That's dumb.
That's not dumb. It's just ill-informed. It's not dumb.
Do you like Madison? Do you know this Madison person?
You can't put her down because she's not current on our episodes. Maybe she's watching or listening to them way back when and catching up. We got 360 episodes.
Yeah, they're all dated.
She said she doesn't even listen to the podcast. She only listens to Conan O'Brien.
Listen, if you're in charge of a radio station or a TV station or mm-hmm. something that can possibly disseminate news, mm-hmm. yes, you should be held accountable to whether or not what you say is true or not, or to even caring about what you say is true.
We got
like Soul Asylum.
We got a mention on Sirius Radio.
But now she put us in a box. Now we're going to have to do those live shows all over again. Same dates.
We're not doing anything.
Gabe's going to have to say the C word for 10 minutes straight. So speaking of April Fool's Day, what Criterion? What's up with Criterion? I've been waiting for their William Friedkin collection. Where is Rampage? Are you aware of what's going on here, Ben?
I've been too busy. I haven't even looked at the old. I missed a whole month of Criterion.
If that's everything that's going to come out of your mouth.
Wait a minute. No, it's not. But I'm just saying. What is in the Criterion William Friedkin collection?
I'll tell you what's not there is Rampage. And everything that they've unveiled this month. I was like, Rampage is on there. Very, very excited to see this movie. And I wait for weeks for it. Because I know it's going to be in there in the William Friedkin section. And then I wait until April 1st, which I thought was going to be on a Sunday. Surprise, April non-fool's day. April 1st was not Sunday. When was the last time Easter has not been on a day in April?
That's a good question.
It's not right. Why couldn't they wait until next week?
It has to do with the full moon after Passover or something like that. And it comes at a different time of the year every year. So you can't count on it.
Really?
Well, you can count on it. But
is that true?
It's the truth. Look it up.
Or are you just working for Sirius Radio now?
No, I'm telling you. I got
Ben, you know about this Passover shit?
Neil deGrasse Tyson. He said it on his podcast.
Well, Passover isn't until late this year, late in April. It's after my festival. But
see what I mean about disseminating false information, Gabe?
Oh, I thought Passover is before Easter.
No.
No, that's Ramadan.
But the thing about Passover and what they call Jesus Christ is the Last Supper is a Passover Seder. Am I right about that?
You mean one of those like half man, half goat
horse?
People?
No. Seder, S-E-D-E-R.
Okay. All right. I don't know. That's your thing.
I believe so. Here. I believe Jesus and all those disciples are hanging out doing the Passover thing. And then
Jesus and all those disciples.
So you're right. It does have something to do with Passover. Thing. Yeah. And then he gets up on the cross. What I want to know is what's with all these MAGA yahoos putting themselves up on crosses for Easter, like with the red, white, and blue tattered shirts, and they've got their arms nailed to the thing. What is that? What's going on around here?
Well, clearly Jesus is very important to them.
Well, Scott, you
so
asked
anyway,
us to...
So anyway, go ahead. No Rampage. I mean,
please don't
tell
me that Jade made the list.
Jade is on there, yes.
Oh, God.
And if I hadn't watched Jade last week, I would have watched that. I didn't even want to watch anything. I was so excited. Speaking of April Fools, Gabe, who do we have on the show today?
Again, with Kevin Tiesta. If he ever makes it on this show, I'll be shocked.
I'll be awed. But Scott, you did ask us to come up with bits for tonight's show.
in case Kevin doesn't show up.
Right. He said, bring the bits. So this isn't a bit that I particularly wanted to do, but I did make a theme song for this bit not too long ago, and it took me some time, so I thought, okay, fine.
Okay.
I got to use this song once again. So here we go. It's time for another what they call segment of uninvited guest.
Oh, Jesus.
And now it's time for uninvited guest from Soma Records in Maplewood, New Jersey, and episodes 66 and 139 of the Lifers Podcast. It's Renaissance Manchild, Mike Lustig. Oh, yeah.
Accent on uninvited. He's uninvited. Whoa! Look at that guy.
Great to see you.
Three cue balls and a guy with hair. Holy.
Oh, man. What everybody asked for. No. But he asked for it. What do we owe the pleasure, Mike?
I have no idea. Why am I here?
Well, we have a question to ask you. Did you get fooled by any April Fool's pranks yesterday?
No.
Well, it's great to have you.
Bye. Good times. Well, before you leave, I wanted to ask you.
Did you have any pranks? Did you get fooled by anything?
Gabe got fooled by a Taco Bell prank.
Yes.
How many times a year does that happen?
How many times a year? Yeah. How many times a week does that happen? A friend of mine got fooled by, I can't believe she did get fooled by this, but I got this text yesterday. Is, holy shit, that Coachella lineup for Sunday. And yeah. I was like, is she really buying this? She goes, I know you probably can't say much, but will that lineup extend beyond Coachella, do you think? And then before I could respond with, are you fucking out of your mind? Are you serious? OMG, Scott, someone sent it to me as an April Fool's. Wow.
Womp womp.
But it wasn't someone that sent it to her as an April Fool's. It was Soul Asylum's idea of a joke. Yeah. Right? You guys saw this.
Yeah, my favorite reaction to that Soul Asylum joke, which was like Soul Asylum headlining and the Replacements and like a million bands. Somebody was
Lemonheads.
Lemonheads. But somebody got the most excited about Bash and Pop. Like, what the fuck?
Ooh, Bash and Pop.
Which, I mean, I admit, they're a great band, but that's not exactly, that wouldn't be first on my list of like, wow.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate it. Gabe, did you buy into that?
No, nobody bought into it. It was kind of...
My friend did. My friend Neff thought it was real.
Nobody thought
she
it was
used to,
real.
She used to write for respectable Austin news rags.
Used to.
Right. After this episode, it's over.
Mike, before you go, and I know you have to go.
Yeah.
Were you telling me that a fan of the podcast came into your establishment, Soma Records, because they heard about it on the podcast and bought themselves a Local H album?
Ooh. Yes, they did.
Tell us that story in better words than I used.
Guy came in and just walked up to buy his stuff. He had one other record. I can't remember what the other one was, but it was on top. And it was good because I remember thinking like, oh, this is a
as opposed to the Local H record underneath.
And then, yeah, I flipped under and I went, wow, Local H. And he went, yeah, are you Mike? So I instantly knew what was going on.
Yeah,
you sussed it out.
And then you said, here's a Muddy Waters record for you to buy instead of that Local H record.
I think that's what I think.
Here's
he
a mixtape for you.
Here's a mixtape.
I think he had an alligator release of Katie Webster.
Yeah, of course he did, right.
How are things going over at your Soma Records? I got a little worried about you this week, and I saw you were having a sale. Your $2 records you were selling for $1, and I got a little worried about how business might be going over there.
Yeah, and we're hand jobs in the back for $5. We're just clearing out the $2 bin.
Okay.
You know.
What were some of the records available for two, now $1?
It's a Shame About Ray without the Simon and Garfunkel track.
What's the best song on It's a Shame About Ray, Mike Lustig?
Rudderless.
Oh, you and Gabe.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
What were the other choices?
The rest of the album. What do you mean, what were the other choices?
Didn't you all pick your favorite song?
Oh, you want to know what we picked?
Yeah.
Okay. I went with Drug Buddy.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I was going to go for Drug Buddy, and then I went with Hannah and Gabby because I couldn't go with Drug Buddy. But then I thought, no, Allison Starting to Happen's got my favorite line. But, you know, everyone's heard that already. This will
get Allison's getting her tit pierced. Yeah, this is all going to be cut out.
Yeah.
And when I say all of it, I mean all of it.
There's no uninvited guest.
There's no.
The song is the best part of the uninvited guest. The song, but the whole intro.
Yeah.
I don't remember this song. Let's hear that song again as we usher you out of uninvited guest.
I feel it was like a 2 minute, it was a long involved thing, right, Ben?
I don't know. It was me doing one of those dumb announcer voices, and it ends with that "Uninvited" from your song, and that was it. It wasn't much. It was no "What's the best?" What's the
best? That is the best.
So anyway, your fan bought the record.
And, which Local H album was it? By the by,
Lifers. You bought Lifers. Ooh. I've only got that one and the one which I don't even know the title with the bacon on the cover.
It's a No Funny Pete.
Yeah, I've never.
It's true.
Yeah. But.
You've never what? You've never heard the No Funny P?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, it's great. Is my favorite song on No Funny is Rudderless.
Have you guys. Well, I want to ask about the movie, but I want to ask about the movie.
Okay.
You can cut that out.
What movie?
Some movie that is coming out.
Yeah, I was putting the credits together today.
Awesome. Is there going to be a soundtrack?
An original soundtrack, yes.
Please.
What's happening with your pal over at GMP Records? Did he hook you up with a distributor? Are you showing it at Music Box? What's going on? You forsaked the Wisconsin Film Festival for...
I forsook it.
You forsook it for, what's his name, Kyle? Is that his name?
Kyle?
What's the guy's name that we had on from Music Box? I don't even remember.
This movie was never coming to your film fest.
I realize that.
It never was.
I know.
First of all,
you're anti-film fest. I know that.
I don't like being pressured. Right. Second of all, it's not ready. It's not ready. I told you it wasn't going to be ready. And you said to me, it doesn't matter. You can show a work print. No, yeah. First of all. Second of all, don't pressure me. Third of all, why are you still bringing it up?
I didn't. Mike Lustig did. It's his fault.
That's right. Wait till you see it in the theater and then the uninvited guest thing starts.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's Ben Reiser with a Q&A. But first, I have this great theme song that you're all going to love.
Well, thanks, Mike. Great. We'd love to have you stay longer, but we know you got a busy night ahead of you. So
this went over great again.
Yeah. All right.
Gabe, I feel like it's been a while since you've given us your great tagline. Go ahead. You can use it now.
Tagline? What tagline?
This went over.
Like a lead balloon?
There you go.
Do you have a microphone again, Gabe?
Am I leaving?
Am I leaving?
Right?
Sure.
I think. Quit while you're behind.
All right. Peace the fuck out.
You're talking about I got a microphone. I've had a microphone for years. This is the second one you guys gave me.
Yeah, but you were going without a microphone for a while, right? It doesn't.
I went without a microphone for a week because I was moving my room around or something. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was on
why? Sometimes, Gabe, you do this thing where you're like, look around like you're watching like the mice in your room play tennis or something. Like, what's happening in there?
I'm distracted. I got my Facebook scrolls going on. I can see Kevin Seconds does this thing where he... You can buy him. You can buy a song, and he'll play it. Any song you want in the world, any cover song.
Sure.
You pay him like $10 or whatever, $5, and he plays it. Right now, he's doing "Dag Nasty" by Dag Nasty.
All right. Well,
I'm distracted.
Can you turn that off now?
I can turn the screen. Yes. I'll start watching it later. It just popped up while Mike was doing his thing.
So speaking of records, Gabe, we got something coming up, right? Can we talk about it, or is this something we're going to have to wait till tomorrow to talk about?
I think we can talk about it. The dozens of people listen to the podcast might get a heads up. But there's going to be a teaser announcement very soon coming up with a 20 anniversary record that's going to be coming.
All right, let's just say don't go buying any old copies of PGA Souls on CD for $100.
Yes, where does that guy get the nerve? Number one, to sell it for $100 on the Cold Manor. Who the hell does he think he is? I'm offended.
I was offended too.
What's the most you've ever spent for a record yourself?
I don't know.
What's the dumbest thing you ever bought and then regretted?
The dumbest thing I ever bought and regretted. There's got to be a good answer to that, right?
Well, I'll tell you what mine is. Early days of DVDs, I really wanted the box set of season one of Alias with Jennifer Garner.
What? Why?
I don't know. I don't know what was going on in my mind at the time.
That was a thing. Like, people were bamboozled into thinking that Alias with Jennifer Garner was something they had to watch, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And you were a prime target.
Yes, but I wanted them because I believed that they had commentary tracks on the episodes. I was like, oh, yeah, I want to go behind the scenes with Alias. But I didn't want to spend the $120 that I think this thing was going for at the time. So then I found one on eBay from Japan. For like $50, and I bought that, and it turned out to just be like, you know, homemade sort of bootleg DVDs with like Xerox copies of the pamphlet. But they, you know, and so the episodes were actually on these DVD-Rs, but none of the bonus features were. So the whole whole reason was.
So you're cheap and stupid.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, save your money. It's going to come out remastered on vinyl, cassette, and CD/Blu-ray. 20th anniversary of PJ Souls. It's coming.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What? So, Gabe, have you done anything unpunk this week?
I can think of something if you give me a second here. I didn't know I had to come up with unpunk today, but I probably should have had something unpunk.
Let me tell you something. While you're thinking, can you just click on the mic next to the microphone icon on your Zoom and tell us what microphone you're pulling from?
Why don't you just really click on the microphone?
Well, that never works, but it doesn't seem like we're hearing you from the mic.
How about now? Is that any better?
Yeah.
That's a lot better, yeah.
What did I do? Did I do something? I'm an idiot. Yeah. All of my gold that I was, you know, shoveling up earlier,
yeah,
all that content that I was talking about,
yeah,
sounded half-assed. Now it sounds full-ass.
So you didn't mean, we thought you said rudderless, but you were actually saying something else?
Would you like to try again?
No, still rudderless. Still.
Would you like to tell us up close and personal what's unpunk about you this week?
You're putting me on the spot. Let's go to Ben, and I'll come back to the...
No, let's stay with you. Let's talk about Orange Frosties. What's going on with you?
Unpunk Gabe, unpunk Gabe, unpunk, unpunk, unpunk Gabe. Unpunk, unpunk, unpunk Gabe.
I'm a sucker for a shake.
Yeah, all right, that's all we need to know.
Any kind of fruit-flavored shakes, you know, like boysenberry... Blackberry from Culver's. That's my favorite shake.
Why do you always start with boysenberry?
It's the best. Nothing better than boysenberry. When you get those seeds.
Boysenberry is the best?
Blackberry is right up there.
What about cherry?
No, hell no. Cherry shakes are the worst.
Cherry shakes are the best.
No, nobody wants a cherry shake. Fuck that.
Ben, what do you think the best shake is? The one that goes with those fries?
Woo-hoo! Yes. I'm a vanilla shake guy, and last week when I was at the height of my sinus and tooth infection,
and that's over now.
Eat
Cindy?
Anything? Yeah, it's finally over. But when I couldn't eat anything, I was on a steady diet of vanilla shakes from the chocolate shop ice cream.
That's not a diet.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to those shakes from. we're talking about Wendy's. We're talking about Wendy's.
That's not Wendy's. Even a real shake.
Hold on, I missed it.
It's not a real shake. It's a Frosty.
Yes, Frosty, shake, whatever you want to call it. Frosty.
Well, we call it a Frosty. It's not a real shake.
Call it what it is.
There's no ice cream in that shit, is there?
No.
It's soft serve. Anyway, they have an orange Dreamsicle shake. The only thing I can think of that would be better than that would be an Orange Julius shake.
Ooh.
But they don't have Orange Julius anymore.
They're okay, like, so it was an Orange Dreamsicle shake. Now, did it taste like an Orange Dreamsicle?
No, I didn't have it yet. I saw an advertisement on the TV while I was enjoying the Taco Tuesday.
Why are you wasting our time with it? It's talk about it when you fantasy. Have it.
It's part of my unpunk fantasy.
All right, Roger Rogers.
That's Paul Rogers.
Oh, now you know.
Unpunk Gabe, unpunk Gabe, unpunk, unpunk, unpunk Gabe. Unpunk, unpunk, unpunk Gabe.
Famously, Ben, you might not realize this, Gabe didn't know the difference between Roger Waters and Paul Rogers.
They're both the same. They have two first names.
They're not both the same.
They don't have two first names. There's nothing about. What are you talking about?
Roger.
Hell, this is my friend Waters. Waters Friedkin.
It's close enough.
Well, I guess Rivers Phoenix. I guess it could be a
Rivers. That's River Phoenix. Rivers Cuomo.
Whatever. Is it Rivers Cuomo?
It's Rivers Cuomo. Oh, and it's God. River Phoenix.
Wow. I saw River Phoenix, and we showed a 35mm print of Joe Dante's The Explorers last week.
Oh, yeah? Hadn't seen that in a while.
I hadn't seen it since the theaters, and yep. I remember thinking, what a pile of shit, and man, did that age even worse than I thought it would.
Really?
That's no
I would have thought the other way.
I know. I would have hoped for such
Let's a talk about your job. We rarely talk about your job on this show. I mean, you do, but we don't. So yeah. Let's all talk about it. You've got something going on. Started last night.
No, starts Thursday night. Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right.
I knew you'd get there sooner or later.
Yeah, it's, I'm in the height of it now, baby.
The latest edition of the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Take two.
Tell you, last night we were at our large venue, the Barrymore Theater, 750 seats. We sold it out for an Italian movie called Io Capitano, which was up for Best International Feature at this year's Oscars. Didn't win because what won? Zone of Interest? Because they didn't
Zone
want to
of Interest,
that
of course.
Right. But it's a wild thing to see 700 people sitting there watching an Italian, really depressing movie about Senegalese guys trying to escape to Italy and getting the shit beat out of them in the desert. It was a wonderful way to start an 8-day festival. Very festive.
See, listen, I'm all for pretending this show is recorded on the day it comes out. But when you sit there and you lie like you just did in such a way... I'm curious to find out what it's actually going to feel like when this happens.
I know that the movie is sold out.
What's going to happen? Okay,
and I've seen the movie already. So
Do you know what it's going to feel like to watch these people? They might think it's a laugh riot.
There might be some kind of mass shooting in the movie while people are watching it.
In that case,
please don't release this episode in the wake of my murder.
We're going to have to get this done and edited before you go to that screening.
Yeah. But tonight, as I've insinuated, I think, on this podcast before, but certainly in our personal lives, the best horror movie of the year by a landslide, we're showing at the festival tonight, In a Violent Nature. Not the greatest title by any means for a movie, but a fantastic horror movie.
Of a Violent Nature.
Yeah, I'd go with anything other than...
Of a Violent Nature, because when people talk about things, it's something of a violent nature.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very strange title.
Yeah, it's arty, but it looks good. It looks good. I'm very excited to see this, so much so that I almost don't want you to say too much about it, but you have seen it. I've talked to a couple of people who have seen it, and I'm not allowed to say who they are, because apparently this thing had crazy NDAs attached to it.
Oh, oops. Okay, well.
Well, you're showing it at your festival. You're allowed to talk about it.
Sure.
Now, right?
Yeah. I have to promote it.
Yeah. They should lift the NDA.
They really should.
Yes.
They'd make you sign an NDA to watch a movie and not talk about it so it
he
doesn't get out?
He couldn't even tell me the title of this thing when he watched this last year. He's like, I saw this and I'm really not supposed to say I saw it. And now I'm telling everybody that you said you saw it, so you're going to lose your job.
I mean, it is true that I went into it completely blind. I didn't even know what the name of it was when I saw it. And I couldn't have loved a movie anymore, so maybe that's the way to do it.
Hmm. Yes. So that's tonight.
Mm-hmm.
How are tickets doing on that?
Very well. Very, very well.
Going to sell out?
It's not sold out. There's a couple of seats left, but it probably will be by the time the images splash across the screen.
Okay, what else? What else is coming?
Well, skipping ahead to the last night of the festival, next Thursday, we've got a young gent named Alexander Payne.
Ooh.
Guy's made a movie or two in his time. Gabe, you ever seen an Alexander Payne movie? You've probably seen Election with Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. I have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Election, yes.
Did you see Citizen Ruth with Laura Dern?
I think you might have seen that.
I don't think so.
Remember Laura Dern, she wants to have an abortion, and she huffs paint. She's a drug addict, and everybody wants to use her for their... No, he's
never
seen it.
I mean,
have you seen The Holdovers?
I have not seen The Holdovers.
Okay, well, move on, Ben.
Well, anyway, Alexander Payne is coming to the festival, and he's showing a film that's having its 20th anniversary, Sideways, with Paul Giamatti.
Sideways.
Very classic. Funny movie.
Great movie.
So I'm looking forward to that, spending some time with Alexander.
He's not only there for that, he's there to introduce a movie as well, right?
He's introducing a movie called The Long Haul, which is, I think, from the 60s.
Right. No, that's like, I think it's 59 or
59,
something?
59, Victor Mature.
Much better than Victor Juvenile.
Yeah.
Why that movie?
Alexander's done this with us in the past. He's come to the festival and said, here's a movie I like. I want to introduce it and show it to the festival audience. He showed us this Italian film, also from the 60s, called Il Sorpasso.
Well, that makes more sense, but why The Long Haul?
I don't know. I'm going to find out when we all do. He's going to explain his love of this movie to us.
That sounds great.
But Gabe, here's something. Rita Hayworth, she's before your time, but you know, she's kind of like a pinup, like a bombshell.
Yes, she gave good face.
Yes.
Yes.
We're showing a Rita Hayworth movie in 3D. Showing a movie called Miss Sadie Thompson, featuring...
Rita Hayworth coming at you.
Yeah, exactly. How does that strike you?
Sounds interesting. I don't
have
know.
You ever
Are they going to have free margaritas?
Yes. Have you ever gone to a 3D movie?
I have. I saw Polar Express in 3D.
Oh, that's nice.
But I've seen Creature of the Black Lagoon in 3D my house.
On television.
On TV, yeah.
They're showing that today at the Music Box with the Three Stooges 3D short.
Mm-hmm. We too are showing a Three Stooges short in 3D at the festival. We have a whole day of 3D.
It's probably the same one. Festival.
Yeah.
Speaking of 3D.
No. Speaking of Rita Hayworth, did you know that the margarita was named after Rita Hayworth?
How so?
A bartender made her a drink, and it was the margarita. It was named after her.
Margarita.
That's right. Can we move on to dissecting more worms? I mean, more words?
If you'd like to, is this your bit? What's the bit? Song to the bit here. What do you call it?
The bit?
Words with Scott?
We could call it Words with Scott, or we could call it Afraid of Worms.
No, doesn't ring a bell.
Worms with Scott. I mean, Words with Scott.
So why'd you say those things?
Tell her you were afraid of words.
Because I was afraid of worms, Roxanne. Worms!
Worms!
Here's one that's right up your alley, Gabe. Ben, begin the music now.
Yep, got it.
Liberty or death? So said Joseph Addison, an 18th century poet, scholar, essayist, and politician who scribbled a line in a play, but chains or conquest, liberty or death? This likely informed the famous Patrick Henry quote, give me liberty or give me death. Addison was certainly an intellectual, and while that quote resonates throughout Forget it. But Addison also popularized another phrase that resonates more with gym bros throughout the world. That's because Addison seemingly pioneered the word dumbbell. Can you see where this is going, Gabe?
Gym rat? What?
What? No, we're going to figure out where the word dumbbell came from. You have any idea, before we get into this, where the word dumbbell might have come from?
Not yet. I'm following you, but I'm not there yet.
You don't even want to take a guess.
Dumbbell. No. The sound of the weights hitting the floor sound like a bell.
Ben, what do you think?
I like but I feel like maybe it comes from another language.
Oh, well, in centuries past, before fitness equipment was refined and one's deltoids and biceps could be worked with ruthless efficiency by bodybuilding routines, those interested in physical exertion had to make...
I think I figured it out.
Because you just looked it up.
No, but it's a bell. People used to lift these bells as weights.
Let's see.
But they were dumb, like mute. Like, you know, that's another word for mute.
Yeah. No, this is great because I can see you looking at, I can see the screen in your glasses.
Yeah.
I can see what you're doing. Yes. You're cheating.
I'm still on the antonyms for strength or whatever.
Those interested in physical exertion had to make do with whatever was available. For Addison, it was a rope and pulley system that resembled a mechanism used to ring church bells. Because pulling on the rope and engaging with the lead weight attached to it didn't result in any actual chimes, it was known as a dumb bell. Get it?
Yes.
So he'd ring a bell, but they would put, like, you know, padding in it so it wouldn't make any noise. Dumb bell.
Do you ever work out in a gym with those, like, things they've got, like straps or rubber fucking things you pull from down from the ceiling and have resistance?
Yeah.
PX90 or something like that. I don't know what they're called. I tried that once.
He was known to say, Addison would say, "For my part, when I am in town, I exercise myself an hour every morning upon a dumbbell that is placed in a corner of my room, and it pleases me the more because it does everything I require of it in a most profound silence." You, Gabe, you please me because you do everything I want in a profound silence.
I don't know if I even...
Do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying to you?
So,
I love when you do things that please me in a profound...
It's a term of endearment, you're saying.
Well, I just know that I love when you do things that please me in a profound silence.
Dumbbell.
So why'd you say those things?
Tell her you were afraid of worms.
Because I was afraid of worms, Roxanne. Worms!
Worms!
When you guys lived together and you'd spend time together in the apartment...
Uh-huh.
Are there lots
Would we read to each other?
No, were there prolonged silences? Were you in a place in your relationship where you didn't feel like you had to entertain each other or have conversation? You could just sort of hang out.
I think that goes without saying. So, when I couldn't watch the movie that I wanted to watch last night, William Friedkin's Rampage, I finally watched this French movie, La Haine. Vincent Cassel. Have you seen this thing?
Yeah.
Man, what a disappointment. I've been holding on to this movie for years, going, one of these days, I'm going to unfurl this thing and it's going to hit me like a ton of bricks. And it just annoyed me. I thought this movie was great. I thought everybody thought that it was great.
No.
You can say things now. You don't have to sit there in prolonged silence.
But, I mean, I think you do this to yourself a lot. You put these movies aside for a long time, and then you build them up in your mind, and then you have unfair expectations.
Like Cabaret?
I'm thinking of a masterpiece like Don't Look Now.
But I'd seen Don't Look Now in fits and spurts throughout the years.
Well, that's no way to see it.
Well, it... I saw the whole thing, and I don't know if that was the way to see it.
It was. You just you did it wrong. Somehow.
I just don't think I'm a Nicky Rogue guy.
Well, I'm not really either, but that's the exception.
Okay. Well, here's another movie that I've been waiting to watch. Maybe, Gabe, you know about this one. Tough Turf?
Tough Turf.
With Kim Richards.
Kim Ooh. Richards. Yes, it is. Kim Richards and James Spader.
Great movie.
No, it's not about... what's her face? Who wrote Harry Potter?
I don't know anything about this movie.
What's her name?
What's this? R.J. Reynolds. R.J. Cowling. What's her name? I can't think.
Ben, you got kids. What's her name?
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling. Yes. Tough Turf is not about J.K. Rowling.
R.J. Reynolds.
Tough Turf. Is there an entry on Tough Turf in our buddy Mike McPadden's book, Teenage Movie Hell?
I sure hope so.
You got to know this movie, Gabe.
Tough Turf. I've never heard of such a thing. With James Spader?
Yes, James Spader and Kim Richards.
Is he an asshole in it?
No,
he's actually the good guy.
He is kind of an asshole, though. He's kind of an asshole. The most interesting thing about the movie is how James Spader is the hero, but he's kind of an asshole hero.
Let's listen to our friend Mike McPadden. He's a good asshole. Look it up, look it up, look it
up. It's a movie hell. Oh, he's the best asshole.
By the way, it's James Spader, Kim Richards, and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, ooh, Robert Downey. I have an allergy.
I know. Immediately following.
And thy name is Robert Downey Jr.
Immediately following his villain
turn. Okay, so this is from the book.
From the book Teen Movie Hell by Mike McPadden. Immediately following his villain turn in The New Kids, James Spader handles hero duties in Tough Turf. Spader stars as new kid in town, Morgan, a high-speed bicycle enthusiast whose family downgrades from civilized Connecticut to savage L.A. In California, his new graffiti-splattered high school is lorded over by a loudly fashionable teenage outlaw organization run by thuggish Nick, played by Paul Moniz, and Nick's feather-haired main squeeze, Frankie, Kim Richards. Right away, Morgan thwarts a robbery being committed by the Cabal, which is no way to make friends. Frankie informs him that his, quote, ass is grass. Before long, though, Morgan and Frankie fall for one another, and they discover the hard way that, as a contemporary pop song suggested, love is a battlefield. Tough Turf is a rousing, extremely of its moment, binge and purge of star-crossed romance, juvenile delinquent hyperbole, and music video overkill, courtesy of director Fritz Kirsch, who managed to whip up this whirlwind between crafting two other cult benchmarks, Children of the Corn and Gore.
No way.
Yeah. Atypically cast as the good guy.
I'd like to say that right now, this guy was a terrible, terrible, terrible director.
Yeah,
Go
Children
on.
Of the Corn is about as bad as a movie can get. Oh. Atypically cast as the good guy, Spader rots pretty hard, although not quite as hard as Robert Downey Jr., who portrays Jimmy Parker, Morgan's new wave drummer best friend, who ends up slamming skins shirtless at an underground punk club for Basketball Diaries author and art rock legend Jim Carroll. The hip
Crazy.
Literary cameo seems to underline the movie's unlikely premise. What if Holden Caulfield was plopped down into the dumb, violent world of Colors? Kim Richards makes a scrappily unique anti-heroine, and not just because of her ridiculous maxi-crimped hairdo. The love scene involving Spader and this former Witch Mountain kid and future Real Housewife, as well as actual aunt.
Oh, she was in Witch Mountain.
Yes, Return to and everything. Stars one of the most hilariously obvious body doubles in cinema history. Tough Turf proved to be most lasting of 80s teen cinema's varyingly violent action subgenre, at least in part because its title is so fun to say out loud and even just to think about. The movie zooms along with a likable sense of humor, a trait not shared by other entries in this field, such as the Sean Penn juvie hall nightmare Bad Boys, The Linda Blair Rape and Revenge crossbow adventure, Savage Streets. Ooh, I've never seen that. I need to see that.
Me neither.
Or Adam Baldwin.
I haven't
Baldwin.
Even seen the first movie he talks about that James Spader was in. The New Kids? I don't know that one either.
Yeah, The New Kids, 1985. Or Adam Baldwin is a one-man leather jacket wrecking machine in 3:15. Those are terrific films in their own right, but in the cheeky depths of teen movie hell, Tough Turf is king of the mountain.
I did not like Tough Turf. I didn't like it at all. I was surprised at how terrible it was. It's a musical, too.
It looks like a musical, is it?
It kind of is a musical.
It looks bad.
There's a scene where James Spader sings a song to Kim Richards, and it's amazing.
I feel the thunder. I feel the pain. I know the struggles you keep, the nights in the rain. I feel your face. I hear your eyes. I know the nights that you cry, but still.
Crazy.
We survive.
I
walk the night. I walk the
well,
night.
Well, darling, would you care to dance?
Fighting the darkness that breaks our hearts. We hold each other tight. I walk the night. I walk the night. Fighting the darkness.
It's amazing for all the reasons that you think when people say the word amazing. Like every single meaning behind the word amazing applies. Do you know who Kim Richards is?
She's from Sex and the City. Is she?
What?
No.
Everyone thinks she's from Kitchen Sex and the City.
No, she's from Escape to Witch Mountain.
I sent you the picture. Look her up.
I just saw the trailer. She's one of the girls in the show.
She's also from a movie I'm sure you've seen, Gabe. John Carpenter's Assault on Precinct 13. She has the most famous scene in the movie.
Oh, man. Well, that's on Criterion this month.
I've seen it before.
There's a nice series of movies that happen in one night, of which Lehane was one of them.
Mm.
Well, what else we got here? We got April. We got...
One more movie at the festival that I thought Gabe might be interested in. This movie, this documentary called Melomaniac about this dude. Maybe you ran into him back in the
day. He's not going to be interested in this.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Who is it?
Share the photo on it. Gabe will remember who this guy was. But you're talking Melomania, right?
Yeah. This guy was a famous...
is it Melomania or Melomaniac? Don't tell him who it is. Just show him the picture. Let's see if he remembers who this guy is.
No. Remember Am I supposed
that?
To remember
that? Yes. Remember that dude, Adam, that used to tape at every show we went to?
Adam?
Adam That's with him? Two A's.
Adam Olson?
What?
No, his last name is not Olson.
Adam Jacobs.
No, I don't remember this
The
stuff.
Dude who set up shop at every single show in Chicago for decades and recorded.
He was at every show at Lounge Jack's. He had the microphones in front of the soundboard.
I remember that.
Long
I
hair.
Been Lon Jackson.
He was
years.
Dewey Cole before there was a Dewey Cole.
Neither has he, but he was always there.
Okay, he's got a movie?
Yeah.
You really don't remember this guy?
No, I don't. I can forget a lot of things.
Rick Ness said he used to work with the guy.
Of course he did. Everybody remembers this guy. This guy.
Oh, and that looks a little familiar. Yeah. He's got a movie?
He's got a movie about him.
Melomaniac.
Is what? Interesting?
It's about Adam Jacob, known as Chicago's taping guy, who single-handedly recorded, officially and unofficially, the sounds of Chicago's live music scene starting in the 1980s. Jacob's obsession with recording the music of this era can be found in his massive collection of roughly 10,000 tapes containing more than 30,000 sets of live music that no one but him is allowed to listen to. So don't even ask him, because he won't let you listen to it. That's what it says on the Wisconsin Film Festival description of the movie.
And now he's got a movie.
Now he's got a movie.
Now he's got a movie.
And you're going to go see it. A movie.
I'll see it, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Gabe, who's on the show today?
Today we have Kevin, the man, Tiesta.
Say it again. Say that last name.
Who's that? How do you say that last name?
You have to pronounce the H-A in there. It's not silent.
It's Tiesta, Kevin Tiesta. Like,
Hotro.
He's got two first names. Speaking Kevin, of two first names, we haven't talked about Joe Flaherty yet. R.I.P. A lot of love for the man today on across the socials. Gabe, tell us who Joe Flaherty is.
You caught me flat-footed here. I didn't realize that he was not, no longer with us.
He caught, or that caught he was him even Flaherty-footed.
He tried to do that, but he didn't. Do you know who that who he was? Do you know who Joe Flaherty was?
No, I don't. I'm not going to pretend.
He played the dad on Freaks and Geeks. I'm going to go with what you probably know first. He played the dad on Freaks and Geeks.
I never watched Freaks and Geeks. You always asked me to watch that show. I never did.
I can't believe you never watched Freaks and Geeks.
No, I wanted to, but I never could.
SCTV? He was Count Floyd on SCTV?
Nobody watches that show.
Oh, my goodness.
Who watches it besides the two of you?
I knew he was going to say that. I knew.
You guys.
I knew that would be his thing. Nobody watches SCTV. It's time for Gabe's it's time for Gabe Rodriguez's TV corner.
Nobody watches that stuff. Mr. Show, Kids in the Hall. Get that crap out of here.
Wow.
Back in Gabe Rodriguez days, TV was a hit parade. Everybody had it made. Those were the Gabes.
Gabe Rodriguez's TV corner.
All right,
yes,
so.
Yes, I said it.
SCTV. Like, so, Gabe, did you watch any sketch comedy shows back in the day? You
sure.
Watch Fridays, probably.
I could barely stay awake for that. Even with
our even
buddy.
Back when Gabe was young and was full of energy and sugar. He,
that was 35 years ago. What year was that?
He couldn't stay awake long enough to watch Fridays.
I was like 16. What year was Fridays?
What are you talking about? You weren't 16.
Yes, I was.
And even
was like
if you were 16, that's what you should be doing, is staying up all night.
I was playing video games back then. Wasn't watching Fridays.
Okay, so you didn't watch Fridays. No. You didn't watch SCTV.
Even, yes, no way.
Okay, you didn't watch Kids in the Hall.
No. Nobody watched that stuff.
You didn't watch Monty Python.
I watched Benny Hill. That was the...
And we wonder why the guy doesn't have a sense of humor.
Oh, I have a sense of humor.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yes. I can crack myself up better than anybody.
You're living in a bubble, a humor bubble.
No,
you're a humor bubble baby. A baby bubble.
A lot of laughter out of
a baby.
A lot of laughter.
A bubble baby of humor. Go on. Saturday Night Live. Did you watch Saturday Night Live?
Enthusiasm. That's what I've been watching. I never watched it. I watched Saturday Night Live for a while. The early days were kind of boring with John Belushi. I really didn't like him.
Wow.
The hamburger guy? What's the guy? The cheeseburger guy? I didn't like that. That wasn't funny. Yes, it's so like that show Soap. Remember that show Soap?
Soap? Listen, if you're going to start talking shit about Soap... I'm gonna get angry.
I don't remember
angry.
Anything about it. What's that gray-haired guy's name that was on Carol Burnett? Wasn't he on Soap?
Harvey Korman? No, that wasn't the same guy.
They're all the same.
I thought you were gonna start talking shit about Richard Mulligan.
That might be from Night Court?
No.
I don't know these people. I can't remember any of this.
That's
stuff.
Martin Mulligan.
Not Martin Mulligan. Martin Mull. No, these guys aren't funny. What are you watching growing up? What did you watch?
I watched all the things I just mentioned and soap. I watched it all. I watched Mary Hartman. I watched Fernwood Tonight.
You watched a lot of TV.
Back in Gabe Rodriguez days, TV was a hit parade. Everybody had it made. Those were the Gabes.
Gabe Rodriguez's TV Corner.
Gabe, so you're watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I'm trying to. I might have to put down the money and get HBO Max or Max, whatever you call it.
Oh, you haven't been watching the new season.
I'm watching the new season as YouTube clips, not as the whole episode.
What is wrong with you?
I don't have time to watch this stuff, but it's really good. The clip that I saw that cracked me up the most was when he met Ken. When Larry David met Ken, who transitioned later on, but he was his old lover. Did you see, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I watched the whole episode last night. Uncut, uninterrupted.
I haven't seen last night's episode, so you guys go ahead and ruin it for me.
I didn't watch it on TikTok. Today,
Bruce Springsteen is in this episode,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or
the boss was pretty
funny. What's his name? Jeremy Allen White. Whatever the fuck.
It's not bad. I want to say.
Go ahead.
It's better than Seinfeld. I'm going to say it. I think Curb Your Enthusiasm is better than Seinfeld.
It's not, first of all. It's not better than Seinfeld.
I think it is.
It isn't.
I laugh harder at these.
How do you think it's going to end, Gabe? Do you think it's just going to be a rehash of the season finale of Seinfeld?
It's possible. They might be bringing out all the hits and having everybody...
show up to a court case?
A character assassinate Larry David in court and say he belongs in jail. And then they take him. It'd be funny. Do it.
You think that'd be funny? You're down with that, Ben? Are you down with that?
Not really, but I'm just along for the ride. I like it fine. I've never not enjoyed it.
I laughed out loud last night's episode. A lot.
I'm laughing all season. I'm not even watching it in order. I'm watching the clips out of order. I should be getting this show and watching it. I'm not.
You're watching it out of order?
Yes, when you watch the YouTube clips, they don't say what the order of the clips are. They just have clips and clips. It's not
so. You're just watching this scrambled William Burroughs version of Curb Your Enthusiasm. You're watching.
Yes,
you're watching your Curb Enthusiasm. You're watching Enthusiasm Your Curb. Enthusiasm Curb Your is what you're watching.
Possibly, it's the way I've always watched it, though. In the last like 2 years. Just clips here and there.
So you're cheap too.
Of course. Who doesn't know that? I'm not afraid.
Why don't you take some of your Super Bowl squares money and lay down for a couple months subscription to Max?
You know what we should do? We should have a quiz. Who's more George? Ben or Gabe? And you guys should answer questions, and we're going to figure out which one of you is more of a George and which one of you is more of a Samantha.
Who's Samantha?
Might be you. We'll find out. It could be you.
There should be a test you can take to see if you're George.
Ben, do you think you're a Costanza?
Yeah. I think out of the characters on Seinfeld, that's who I relate most closely to.
Because Gabe definitely thinks he's George. So I would like to see you two in a fight to the George.
A George off?
Yeah. You're going to have to come up with
here's
this.
Here's the thing that I think of as being most George-like in my personal life.
Okay, this is good. This is going to be good. This is what we're looking
for. When I first arrived in Madison, I didn't have a job, and I got a job at which is like part of. They have like their own sort of standalone store next to and they're just about making copies. Gabe, you can relate. Printing industry, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But this whole complex was behind the Westtown Mall, and nobody ever went to this place. They opened up. They had big ideas that everyone was going to come use them for all their printing services. Nobody did. We never had any customers. We were open 2 hours later than the mall itself. So even people who were at the mall and thought, oh, I'll go over to after I'm done at the mall. Like, you know, there was no reason for them to stay open until 10 p.m., but yet they did. But I was working there during the day, and I was supposed to be their delivery driver. But they didn't have any jobs for me to deliver to anybody, because nobody was looking for them to make copies or prints. So at a certain point, they were like, you need to go out and do these cold calls to local businesses. We're going to give you these little gift bags with a pencil and like an eraser and some other piece of garbage. And you're going to just go around to businesses in the area and give them this thing and get a business card from the business. And one of our salespeople will give them a call and say, hey, how'd you like our little gift bag? Maybe we can do some printing for you. Well, I didn't want to go to any of these businesses. I went to like one business. I could go to these office complexes and walk into these like dentist's office with this shitty fucking gift bag full of garbage. And I was just, I'm not that type. I couldn't do it. I could not collect these business cards. But on the other hand, I was supposed to stay out for like 3 or 4 hours at a time and do this. So what I would do was I'd get into the van and I'd drive home. I'd take a nap for a couple hours. And then I went over to Einstein Bagels. And Einstein Bagels had one of those fishbowl things where people drop in business cards to win a bagel or a sandwich or something. And while it was really busy at lunch, I'd wander over to the fishbowl at the counter and sort of stick my hand in and grab a fistful of business cards. And then I would dole those out over the next couple of days back at I'd like come back and say, oh, here's some more cards I collected from the fucking thing. And that's what I did for a living for a couple months.
Oh, yeah? Well, Gabe had sex with your wife. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Lifers Podcast. Tune in next week for more Lifers.